And some of our sins can be treated by a quick repentance. Some diseases are chronic. Some can only be treated by consistent application and care over the course of life. And that is the case for some of the diseases of our soul, where we have to have a sustained care for nourishing our soul and opposing sin our whole life. Leprosy of all physical diseases is a picture of our souls.
Ancient Faith Radio and Patristic Nectar Publications present The Arena, Sunday homilies and theological reflections with Father Josiah Trenum. Father Josiah is the pastor of St. Andrew Orthodox Christian Church in Riverside, California. He is also the founder of Patristic Nectar Publications, a nonprofit organization committed to nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers. For more information on Patristic Nectar Publications, please visit our website at www.patristicnectar.org. And now, Father Josiah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. The gospel today, brothers and sisters, presents us a really horrifying picture. It's a picture of a group of people in utter and total misery. 10 leprous men. We know, I think, about leprosy, but we don't know about it like our parents and grandparents and our forebears knew about it. We don't have in all our parishes people that one day are there worshiping with us, maybe for many years, maybe serving on the parish council, and the next year get leprosy and we never see them again. That experience is not ours, but that experience was the normal experience for people who contracted the disease of leprosy. Leprosy, this hideous disease which just eats the flesh, was so horrible that if you contracted it, not only were you not healed from it because there was no cure, but the physical ramifications of the disease were not as terrible, even though they were terrible. They were not as terrible as the social and spiritual implications that would follow the disease. Being cut off, you were set away. You became an outcast, not just from people who didn't love you, from the people who loved you the most. You didn't want to be near them because you knew they would infect them. And so your love itself propelled you to separate yourself from them. Can you imagine? You'd have to go live really in the wilderness, in caves, in areas where there were only lepers, and the only time you would see your family was occasionally and from a great distance. You would never know again what it was like to be touched by a human being. Can you imagine? No one ever wiped your tears again. No one stroked your head. No one patted you on the back. You didn't get to see your children or your grandchildren or your community. No more going to church. There was no church for the lepers. It was the most horrifying experience. And these 10 men were deeply gripped by the disease. They could only associate with each other. And they saw Jesus from a distance as he was passing by. How they knew about him, how they had heard about him, only God knows. But as he was going by, they together began to cry out the prayer which we and the whole church praise. as our most precious prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. This is what they cried. They cried the prayer, and Jesus heard his name. And in his great compassion, he responded to these men. Their prayer brought their healing, and their prayer came from a tremendous sense of need. Think about what I was telling you last Sunday. I was trying to press upon you last Sunday that grace comes when we have a great sense of our own need, our own weakness, our own sins. Remember, I shared that beautiful quote from Elder Sofroni with you about the fact that grace is activated when we obtain a deep sense of our own sinfulness. What is Jesus to us if we're fine? If you all are fine, you don't need to be here. If everything's great in your life and your soul is just okay and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, what are you doing here? It's not true. We're here because we know that that is not true. We confess ourselves to be sinners. We have a deep sense of a disorder within us that God is rectifying, that God is saving, right? And these men knew it, and they cried out. They let their own sense of desperation cry out to Jesus, and Jesus did something very shocking. He didn't do what you would have thought. In other accounts where he healed lepers, he did the unthinkable, and he touched their skin to show them and to show everyone that disease does not pass from the fallen to the God-man. Keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, when you approach the Holy Chalice. Some of you, when you come up to the chalice, you come up and you go like this. You're afraid that I might touch your mouth with the spoon, and I have to somehow like drop it into your mouth. I'll do that because I love you and I don't want to embarrass you at the chalice, but you should know something. I'm laughing at you on the inside. I am. There is no possible way that disease can go from the glorified flesh and blood of Jesus to you. Any disease that would even approach the Son of God, poop, is no longer disease. It's health. You don't have to worry about touching the spoon. You don't have to worry about what you might leave on the spoon. You don't need to worry about taking communion when you have a cold. Don't worry about it. Remember Jesus' relationship to illness. He touched the leper, and the leprosy didn't go to him. The leprosy left. His life went to the sick. In this case, he told them, go show yourselves to the priests. What a thing to say. Why did he say that? Why would he send men consumed with disease to go see the priests? Remember, the priests were only in one place amongst the Jews. Not in the towns, not in the villages. Not in their synagogues. No. They had teachers, they had scribes, they had rabbis in those places. The priests were one place, and they were in the temple in Jerusalem serving the one altar. The great mystery of the multiplication of God's houses hadn't yet taken place. That would come when our Savior came and fulfilled the law and transformed it into something far more glorious. No, the priests were all in Jerusalem, so when he said this to these lepers in the village, they had to head for Jerusalem. They had to head for the temple. And it says very beautifully that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. This is a beautiful witness to the fact that the path of obedience to Jesus' words, the doing of Jesus' words, is the means for healing of body and soul. They were being sent to the priests because in the law, Moses had taught, by God's inspiration, that matters of leprosy were matters for the priests. And all the priests, when you became a priest, you were trained. You were trained how to discern the presence of leprosy. in people's bodies and in people's homes. Sometimes the leprosy would even be found, whatever it is, in the walls of the house and in the clothing. Can you imagine? So you would have to go to the priest, and this is what would happen. Don't imagine this with me, just mentally. You would go to the priests, and you'd have to strip yourself naked, completely naked in front of the priest. And then you'd have to go spread eagle. And then that priest would come up to you, and he would examine every square inch of your flesh, under your eyelids, in your nose, and everywhere else that I won't mention, to see if there was any mark of leprosy. Priests were trained to do this. I can imagine this was not the most pleasant part of the jobs of the priests. You know, all we priests, we have, you know, the things that really we like, and we have the things we really don't. And in the Old Testament, if you were a Levitical priest, I can imagine checking for leprosy for a person who thought that they were cleansed would not have been the most pleasant experience. If the person was clean, the priest would only, after a thorough examination, make a public proclamation that the person was clean, and then make an announcement to the community that the person can be reintegrated into the community, which must have been salvation for these people. To see their families again, to be with the community back again. This is what was going on. If, in fact, you were clean, the priest would then make a blood sacrifice, and he would sprinkle you 7 times and wash you. You'd be washed completely. These were beautiful foreshadowings of how Jesus' blood cleanses us and sanctifies us, and baptism washes us. This is what the priest would do. All 10 were cleansed. Jesus healed them all. 9 were Jews. And now one of them came back to say thank you. Who knows? Maybe they were just so excited to be whole again, they just forgot God. You could put yourself in their shoes, couldn't you? You never dreamed this could happen to you. It happened. You're like, yes. The first thing on your list, you probably had a list. If I ever get cleansed, this is what I want to do. You got cleansed, you probably went right to your list. Go see my wife. Go see my grandchildren that I've heard were born and I haven't seen. Maybe that's what was going on in their minds. But whatever it is, it was a tremendous mistake. They took the gift from the giver and they didn't say thank you. And that's the sign of a soul that is not Christian. Christian people are thankful and joyful. And we're not thankful and joyful only in the good times. We're thankful and we're joyful all the time. It's us. And if we're not thankful or joyful, brothers and sisters, we're not Christians. This is us. This is how we live. Because we're a saved people. And our life isn't caught up in the good or bad of the things of the earth. Yes, this is the truth. 9 of them failed to come back, but one who was a Samaritan, a heretic, a person who had bad standing in society, he's the one who was so overwhelmed with what God had done for him that he went right back to the giver of the gift. And he kneeled down at Jesus' feet and he said, thank you. And Jesus was completely amazed. And he said, where are the other 9? God notices our lack of thankfulness when we're ungrateful. The Lord notices. Because what does a parent, what does a loving parent seek from his children when gifts are given but a simple acknowledgement? We don't want anything more than that from them. We want to give to them, and we want to give to them, and we want to give to them, and we want to see that those gifts are good for them, and that is expressed on their part by thanks. If we're giving to our children and our children don't say thank you, we should stop giving. Poop, stop it. We're not helping them. We're ruining them. God notices when we aren't. But this one Samaritan, who's a model for us all, came back and gave thanks to the giver of life, the compassionate one who doesn't ignore anybody who has need. See yourself, brothers and sisters, see yourself in this picture. You know, leprosy, of all physical diseases, St. Basil the Great says every physical disease is a picture of the most important type of disease, which is disease of the soul, spiritual disease. And the treatment that we give to physical diseases is a picture of how we should treat our souls. Some diseases can be treated simply quickly. And some of our sins can be treated by a quick repentance. Some diseases are chronic. Some can only be treated by consistent application and care over the course of life. And that is the case for some of the diseases of our soul, where we have to have a sustained care for nourishing our soul and opposing sin our whole life. Leprosy, of all physical diseases, is a picture of our souls. We are the lepers in this gospel. That's where we are in this gospel. That's just a fact, whether we know it or not. We're all the lepers. The question is, are we amongst the 10% or the 90%? Are we those who have a deep sense of our own need? If we do, we'll pray. What if the reason that some of us don't pray like we should, it's because we don't have a sense of our need? That's why we don't pray. And when we do pray, it's because we do have that deep sense. There's something wrong, and I know what it is, and I need God. We're the lepers. We should turn to God with the same sense of conviction that these lepers did and say the same thing. The prayer is what brought them healing. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. We should say the same thing. This is the path to the healing of our soul, brothers and sisters. You want to get better. You want to become more like Christ, more loving, more faithful, more loyal, more of the type of character that will laugh the great day. I know you do. The way to do it is call out this prayer. Call out Jesus' name. Just to say his name is to invite grace into your life. Say it over and over with conviction of your need like these, and you will get the same answer. And I would add just one thing in closing, and that is, show yourself to the priests. Show yourself to the priests. Last night, I got to have a double blessing. I got to do a crowning and a baptism last night. And when I was baptizing little beautiful Vasiliki last night, I was wondering while I was serving what I was going to preach about in the baptism. You know, I've never given the same baptismal sermon. I do a lot of baptisms. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder what I'm going to preach on this time. And as I was reading a prayer, beautiful prayer, the prayer for tonsure, part of the prayer for tonsure is the priest takes the child who's been baptized. Now the child is about to make its first offering to God. God's given the child everything, a new life, resurrection, a new name, being written in the book of life, a guardian angel, grace, the Holy Spirit. I mean, baptism is so rich. The child gets it all, and now the child's going to give something back to God. What does he or she give? Her hair. She gave her hair last night. She had plenty to give, too. We chopped it off in the form of a cross, and I take it. We don't give it to the parents. It doesn't belong to the parents. It belongs to God. She's given it to God. And so I take it, and then I usually take it, and I put it in the fire of the candle, and I burn it up. Sometimes I burn my hands up, which I did last night, all during Vespers. I'm like, woo, baby. Anyway, you burn up the hair as a sign. I do it as a sign of what life will be in the light, in the heat. May her whole energy, you know, think Samson when you think of what hair's about. All his strength was expressed in his hair. She was offering her hair. And then the priest puts his hand on the baby's head, and the priest says, as David's head was blessed by the hand of Samuel. Oh, what a beautiful prayer. So may the head of this child be blessed by the hand of me, a sinner. This is what the priest says. He puts his hand onto the head of the baby. And I mentioned to the couple last night and to the godparents that that's a symbol of our whole life as Christians. We live under the hand of the priest. It doesn't matter who the priest is, who the bishop is. But we live, it's a symbol of humility. And what Jesus is expressing here when he says, go show yourself to the priests. This is exactly how we should live. Because the priests are trained, remember, brothers and sisters, not to detect in these days, in the New Covenant, the disease of leprosy. But the spiritual fathers are trained to detect the other more important diseases and to look for them and to say, well, you know what that is? That's this disease, and this is how you cure it. Don't we know it? Because this week we had one of the greatest joys of all. One of the greatest healers, the greatest spiritual fathers of our time, who has cured so many diseases from so many people, even in this parish, was declared a saint by the church this week. Elder Paisios the Athenite, no more. Saint Paisios the Athenite now, soon to be on the walls of this church. You know, in my little life, I've had three occasions where my whole prayer for the departed got messed up. You know, I have a list that I pray every day, and it's in my head. And, you know, so I say it so much, it's just kind of stuck there. And I've had to change it three times. The reason is because three of the people I have prayed for in my life have become saints, and I can't pray for them anymore. Because when a person becomes a saint, you stop praying for them and you start praying to them. The first happened in the year 2000. I had prayed since I had become a priest in 1993 for the repose of the soul of our father among the saints, Raphael, the Bishop of Brooklyn. I prayed for him every day, and when I first came to this parish in 1998, I used to do a memorial for him at the end of every daily Vespers. I don't know if any of you were around. I looked for Roger John. Oh, God rest his soul. I was going to say, hey, Roger John, isn't that true? Because he used to come and pray that memorial service with me all the time. And then on Memorial Day 2000, St. Raphael, Father Raphael was glorified as a saint. I had to take him out of the lift. Then last year, the Schema monk, the beautiful Schema monk Porphyrios, was glorified as a saint. Many of you have read his Wounded by Love and other of his great books, and he's helped you so much. He became a saint. I had to take him out. And then this week, Elder Paisios, this mighty healer, this spiritual father who knows the diseases of our soul and can give us guidance, was declared a saint by the Ecumenical Patriarch. What a great blessing for the church. Run to them, brothers and sisters. His books fill the bookstore. And they're going to have a new author's name on it soon. No more elder. It's going to be saint. In the republication of these editions, run to them. Have a sense of your need. Call out to God, and in the process of running to the priest, you'll find good health. And help me too. For the glory of God. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed and have been edified by this presentation offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, a non-profit organization committed to nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers. Until next time.